I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's
local and loyal programming.
Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I'm also the host of Moms Don't Have Time to Lose Weight, and I'm the editor of the anthology, which you should run out and buy, called Moms Don't Have Time To, a quarantine anthology. All proceeds of that book go to COVID-19 vaccine research. And I'm the editor-in-chief of Moms Don't Have Time To Write, a new publication on Medium, and we're accepting submissions, so please send your personal essays there. And if all that isn't enough, you can follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens, and my website is zibbyowens.com. Okay, now back to this amazing podcast. Phoebe Robinson is the author of Please Don't Sit on My Bed in Your Outside Clothes, Essays. Did you like how I read that? Actor, comedian, producer Phoebe Robinson is best known as the co-creator and co-star of the HBO limited series Two Dope Queens. She's also a New York Times bestselling author of the books You Can't Touch My Hair and Other Things I Still Have to Explain and Everything's Trash, But It's Okay. Additionally, Phoebe has starred in the movies Ibiza, or as they say, Ibiza, and What Men Want, and was moderator on Michelle Obama's International Becoming Book Tour. Most recently, Phoebe launched Tiny Reparations, a production company under ABC Signature, whose first project is a talk show entitled Doing the Most with Phoebe Robinson that premiered in April of 2021 on Comedy Central. Her next book that I'm talking about now, Please Don't Sit on My Bed in Your Outside Clothes, is the first essay collection debuting on her newly formed literary imprint, Tiny Reparations Books. Welcome, Phoebe. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Please Don't Sit on My Bed in Your Outside Clothes, a collection of essays.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. So tell listeners a little bit about why this collection, like what's in this collection that people need to know about and why did you even write it?
Well, you know, when COVID happened, you know, the one thing that sort of was like my way of maintaining normal is I would try and read every single day. And I was just, it was just sort of keeping me uplifted and feeling positive. And the first essay that I wrote for the book is hashtag Quarren Bay, about quarantining with my boyfriend, who is a tour manager for rock bands. And so we went from, you know, seeing each other like every 6 weeks to like 15 months of like 24/7 interaction. And it was really funny the ways that we sort of like got on each other's nerves, but also like we're really there for each other. And so when I was just thinking about like, oh, that's a funny thing he did, or like, oh, I was really annoying then, I was like, that could be an essay. And then, you know, just thinking about, like, I was thinking about my business at the time, where I was like, you know, work was sort of drying up in certain areas. And so I was thinking about that a lot. And then George Floyd's murder, I was thinking about that a lot. And I really just sort of, you know, I was inside all day and I had time to think. And I was like, I think I could write about this time period without it feeling really heavy and sort of kind of like we were all living through it. Like we don't need a blow by blow recount, but I wanted to sort of have fun with things and sort of talk about performative allyship, but then also talk about, you know, self-care, which I love, but I'm always just like, I'll just buy another candle. And, yeah. You know, I mean, you know, to me, like me started going to therapy during COVID and all these things. I just thought it could be a way for people to laugh, but also maybe see themselves in some way. Like I know a lot of people who also started going to therapy during COVID. And, you know, the title comes from my parents, who are very strict about cleanliness, which is probably why I was such a slob growing up as a teenager. But they just have this strict rule. So like when my brother and I would come home from school, they were like, you can't like sit on the furniture or bed or anything until you change clothes. And that's a thing that has sort of stuck with me as a rule of my own apartment and in my dorm room when I was like in my late teens, early 20s. And so, yeah, I feel like this book is really perfect for this time period, because I think it'll allow people to like sort of laugh and escape, but also sort of think about some larger issues as well.
Well, I loved the assortment of essays and how they touched on so many things that, by the way, can be relatable, you know, not during quarantine. Yes, yeah. And no, right? I mean, immediately your voice is like, if there was an essay class, this should be like the example of like how to get your voice on the page, because it like jumps off the page. Like even the way you do abbreviations or like not abbreviate, like when you're like, I don't know, I should have thought of an example, like delish, but it would be, I don't know, the way you spell out, the way you say certain words. And it's literally like, I felt like you were in my head. Like I could have been listening to you on an audiobook. Like it was, anyway, so I just love when people's voices are that strong and engaging. So I just wanted to like throw that out there.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, my mom had all these weird rules too growing up, you know. She was, it was always about the wet towels. Where are the wet towels? Wet towels can't be here. They can't be there. They can't be anywhere. And I'm like, and now all of a sudden I'm like to my kids, you know, wait, you can't put the wet towel, that carpet stains. And I'm like, oh, no, I've become my mom, you know. But I guess it's inevitable. One of the essays I found particularly interesting in the book was about your decision not to have children and the pressure that people, women, feel to have kids. And there was a passage I wanted to read, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And let's see, what was this called? This chapter was called... It's called Yes, I Have Free Time Because I Don't Have Kids, which is so ironic because my podcast is Moms Don't Have Time for Anything. So anyway, but at the end, you wrote, I write this so you don't have to feel alone or cry yourself to sleep because you've been conditioned to feel like not being a mother means you are a failure, incapable of love, incapable of making the world better than it was before you enter this. I write this so women can free themselves from the pain and anguish of feeling like they don't know how to be a person. You are a person. You are worthy. You are whole. You are healing while you are whole. You are recovering from every comment, snide remark, and hurt full attack on your womanhood. I see the scars and they are healing. And after the healing is over, you can go on living or start living for the first time the life you have dreamed for yourself.
Aww.
So good.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, like so many of my friends are parents now and my brother and sister-in-law have two kids and I love kids. I love being an aunt. I love seeing, you know, visiting them, you know, pre-COVID obviously. And I just have always felt that society is always really monitoring the way that women should live. Like you work, but like, don't work too much, be a mom, but also have time for yourself and be the perfect wife, but also like make time for your girlfriend. Like there's just like no perfect way to be a woman in society, you know? And I remember just sort of like feeling like, okay, just because I'm not a mom doesn't mean that I'm not providing value and that I'm not, you know, trying to help make the world a better place. And I just wanted women who make the choice to not have kids to not feel bad. And I also think that, you know, I've had so many friends who've gone through IVF, and like, I think people could just be unintentionally invasive and, you know, sort of like, well, why do you have kids right now? What's going on? And blah, blah, blah. And you truly never know what a woman is going through and why she doesn't have kids. And, you know, I've had friends who've like tried for years and years and years. And it's just like, they don't want that question to be asked because it's just too painful. And so with this essay, I was just sort of like, whether you voluntarily don't want to have kids or you're just like unable to have kids, like that doesn't mean that you're a bad person, you know? And I think it's hard to sort of, I think everyone's very quick to judge everything. And I think it just really, not that men don't have pressure as well, but I just think it's a uniquely experienced for a woman. That's just always, you're just always sort of like self-policing because you just have been trained to be like, am I doing this right? Am I not doing this right? And I just want people to be like, whatever makes the most sense for you in your life is that's the right choice, you know?
So true. And there's this added, of course, judgmental piece about this, right? That's mm-hmm. why people feel mm-hmm. they can be in your business and asking about these choices, right? I feel like it's this evolutionary thing, like, well, we all had to do it. You know, when like people, maybe they didn't want to have kids themselves, right? I feel like most of the time people ask judgmental questions or seem particularly judgmental. Well, this is a massive generalization, so maybe just delete this from your mind. But it usually is coming from a place that has to do more with them than with you, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Like maybe they're going crazy with their own kids and they're like, how did she get off the hook? How is she like out for brunch? You know, why didn't you have kids, right? So maybe it's, you know, regret or the feeling that other women have of being trapped. I don't know, but it never comes across the right way. And obviously not for everybody, but I do feel that maybe, you know, sort of on the inner lining of that jacket, you know,
there's some of that. Yeah. And I remember when Halsey did an interview, she was saying how it was difficult when she like announced that she was pregnant. Cause I think she's like 25 or 26 and people are like, you're ruining your life by getting pregnant so young and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, can you just let her be happy? Her and her boyfriend made this decision to be parents. Like my mom had me when she was my mom was 28 and my dad was 24. It's just like, there is no perfect time. When you decide that you're ready to have kids, then great, go for it. And I just feel like everyone just needs to get out of other people's business and just let them make their own life choices, you know?
It would be nice. It would be nice if people listened. I'll wave that flag with you as much as you want. That would be a nicer, kinder world in which to live. I agree.
Yeah.
I also loved your chapter on when you realized you were a boss. Like that was so cool. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I've been doing all these things and your tiny reparations imprint, which I want to talk more about. Yeah. And you were like, and then one day I realized, you know what? I'm a boss. Like this is amazing and I can have fun. And then you have like 10 or so suggestions for other bosses. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. And also I want to hear about the imprint.
Yeah. So, you know, being a boss and having employees is sort of, I think when everyone thinks, oh, I'm going to start my own business, you just sort of think of sort of the fairy tale version of it. And it's like, it's going to be so cool. And I'm going to have the signage and I'm going to have like my cute office desk and chair, like all that stuff is great. But then it's like, oh, business is like really intense and up and down and, you know, managing employees and there's just a lot that goes into it. And I feel as though people aren't always prepared to hear like we're not told like the nitty gritty of what it takes to run a company. And, you know, you can like do the research and listen to the podcast and talk to your friends. But until you're in that position, we just don't know. And I feel like for me, one of the biggest things about me becoming a boss, I feel like I've became more compassionate. Cause I think you're just, you know, when I was an employee, it was just like, I'm just here at this place. I don't want to be here today or I want to be here today. And it's just sort of like my own like little world. But then when you're running a company, it's sort of like you have to attend to like how your employees are feeling and all that kind of stuff. And it just makes you become more attuned to other people's energy and maybe course correcting how you're approaching them or how you're structuring the day with them. So it really I've learned so much and it's been really exciting. It's also really hard, but I wouldn't want it any other way. And as for this imprint, Tiny Reparations Books, I met my lit agent at the end of 2014 because he had emailed me. I was on like some stand-up comedians in New York kind of list. That's like whatever. And he saw that and he read a part of my blog and he emailed me. He was like, you're probably already working on a book, but if you're not, I would love to work together. So we met up and we had a great time. And I told him about my first essay collection, You Can't Touch My Hair, the idea for it. And then he sort of said that I wasn't going to be like a one and done kind of author. So he asked me like what I wanted to do next, like down the road. And I was like, you know, Toni Morrison, I know she edited books while she wrote her own, but I was like, that feels like a lot of work. I don't want to do that. So I was like, I'll just have an imprint instead because I had no idea what that meant and that it's so much work. I just was like, I love books and want to be around books. And so when maybe like January of 2020, I had a like exploratory call with my publisher, Plume, about having an imprint. And so we talked about it. I was like, okay, this is something I can keep in the back of my mind. And then COVID happened and I was telling Robert, my lit agent, I was like, oh, we definitely like don't need to do an imprint right now. Like the world is falling apart. And he was like, look how much you're reading. All you do is read in your free time. So you like, don't get depressed. He's like, so many people are turning to books right now to feel better about the world. And he was like, this is a great time for you to just like have an imprint and publish work that you like. And now we have, including my book, 11 books on the slate, which is exciting. Amazing. And it's like literary fiction, some essay collections, some poetry, some nonfiction. So I really am excited about this imprint. And it's mostly female authors, which is really cool. And I'm so stoked about that. And I hope that people will like really relate to these stories and, you know, see the humanity in these characters and in the poetry and everything. So I just can't wait for people to read the books that are coming out.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/Zibby.
So cool. When's your first one slated to hit the shelves?
After my book, the first one will be What the Fireflies Knew, and that comes out February 1st. That's by Kai Harris, and it's the story of this preteen named KB. Her father passes away from drug use, and her mom has her and her older sister, I think her sister's like 15, perhaps, she has them go stay with their grandfather for the summer. So it's really about this, you know, girl sort of like dealing with the loss of her father, but also like, you know, want to do things that like young kids want to do, like making friends and sort of like dabbling in like dating. And just, it's a really beautiful coming of age story. And then in April, we have, this is the other book I'll talk about. In April, we have Portrait of a Thief by Grace D. Lee. And I was obsessed with the book. When I read it, like the first page, I was like, we have to have this. But when I met her, she was like in medical school while she was writing this. Oh, and I was like, I will never complain again about writing a book because you're like studying how to be a doctor and doing this. But it's basically, it's five Chinese. They're like maybe college age, little like mid-20s. And they go around the country, go around America, stealing back Chinese artwork to bring it back to China. And it's a really cool heist book. And it has a lot to do with identity and family and sort of, you know, just kind of like trying to find your place in the world and figure out who you are and trying to honor your culture. And, you know, sort of that kind of like fantasy of like, oh, if I couldn't get caught and I could, you know, do some kind of like heisty cool stuff, like would I do this sort of thing? So it's really fun too. I love, love that book so much.
Oh my gosh. Well, will you please make sure that your publicist sends me all your titles?
Yes,
for this podcast and everything. And okay.
Of course.
I can make sure, you know, pick the ones that I love. And
yeah,
yeah, I'm excited. That's so cool.
Awesome.
Well, stay on at the end because I have something I want to, we'll chit chat about that, you know, piece of it for like 2 seconds. That's so cool. It's just awesome. And then you have like this whole funny thing about being with a British guy and relationships. And like the thing that's so cool is your ability to sort of, you take life, right? And then you just, mm-hmm. put it down, but you find the humor in basically everything. Not like you have to be jaw-dropping funny, just like the absurd, the humor, the like relatable stuff that happens in the everyday. And that's just such a great way to go through life. So whatever the therapy you were doing, I don't know, I think it was working.
Thanks.
And you were talking about self-care, by the way. I was thinking, you know, how bad a job most candles do at actually doing calming you down at all. So wouldn't it be funny if there was this candle set that was just like, this is not self-care at all.
Yeah.
You know, like 8 candles in a row. I feel like I should like brand those, you know.
You should. That's, you
know,
great.
This is not self-care. Get a book instead or something. I don't know. Something like that. Maybe. I don't know. Amazing. So you also have obviously this whole, you know, in front of the screen performance, HBO, you know, shows, Two Dope Girls. So how are you doing all that? You do the writing, you do everything else. Like how are they sort of working together in concert?
It's so much. I know it's too much. You know, I started doing stand-up 13 years ago. So that's really the root of everything. And, you know, I was just going around the city doing, you know, bar shows or doing shows and I was getting paid like $15. And it's really, I think people don't understand when you're coming up as a stand-up comic, like it's not glamorous. It's a lot of hustle. And so when I met Jessica Williams, at the time she was on The Daily Show and we just really hit it off, and we love stand-up comedy and we would just watch these late night shows and we'd be like, there's hardly any women on late night. There's hardly any people of color on late night doing stand-up or people in the queer community. We're like, we're in New York. This is like one of the best places to do stand-up. And there's so many talented people. You're thinking like Michelle Buteau, you think of Naomi Ekperigin, John.
She was on my podcast, Michelle Buteau. Yeah. Love her.
Fantastic. Anyway. And it was just kind of like, that's why we started Two Dope Queens. Cause we're like, we know so many amazing people. We've had like Bowen Yang on and everything. And people like, we didn't expect for it to really resonate with people the way that it did. We were just sort of like, we just want to watch hilarious people be funny and then we'll do our thing. And I remember we were getting, you know, DMs on Facebook being like, you know, every time I've gone to like a stand-up show, it was only just like dudes. So mm-hmm. I just didn't think that stand-up was for me. So I just stopped going to stand-up shows and watching. And it was really nice to see people feel encouraged and feel like, you know, I think our show, we never wanted to punch down. We never wanted to like make anyone feel bad about themselves. And it was always very joyful and positive. And so I think that's a through line with everything. And now that I'm doing this solo stand-up special for HBO Max, which is very exciting, I just really wanted to continue that. So I joke about, you know, my boyfriend, joke about my dad. I talk about, you know, time I hung out with Michelle Obama. And it's really just, I think, like a snapshot of my life. And it just, I kind of just try to have everything come from like my positive energy and sort of like how I want to see the world, and then figure out whether it's just, should this be stand-up? Should this be a book? Should this, but I want everything to sort of like work in harmony and be just really uplifting and funny. And you can have like smart stuff to say, but I don't want it to feel as though anyone's being reprimanded, but rather like just being really frank and honest and sort of sharing my truth. And that's kind of how I go about my work. Yeah.
I love it. It's so great. So what advice would you have for aspiring authors?
That is a great question. I really feel like it's so hard to break into publishing because you're just like, I don't know what to do. And so I would say whatever kind of thing you want to write, whether it's an essay collection or a fiction, sort of first target kind of the imprints or publishers that publish a thing that you want to write. That's like key. And then for a fiction, like if you're trying to sell a novel, you have to write the manuscript pretty much. But if you're doing an essay collection, you just have to have a strong proposal, which has like two sample essays. And I did that. I've done that for all three books. And people are like, you still write proposals? And I was like, yeah, it's your blueprint. It's like, mm-hmm. you don't want to sell a book. And then you start writing, you're like, oh crap, I don't know how to get from point A to point Z. So just really make sure you have a super solid proposal and just really like, don't hold back. I think sometimes you can be like, oh, this might be too weird, or I don't know if anyone's going to like feel this. It's like, put down your most authentic self on the page, because book writing is like a year and a half long process. And you want to really stick with it. And you're only going to stick with it if you're writing stuff that you believe in. And then really make sure you connect yourself with a really good lit agent. I was grateful to have my agent find me after years of blogging, but you really want to have someone that's going to fight for you and really is going to believe in your work and is going to try and get the best deal for you and really help you feel supported. And so I think as long as you're like studying the craft, you represent yourself well, and you really believe in what you're doing and just write. Like that's the biggest thing, is just constantly like work on your voice. And I think like what you mentioned about earlier about my voice in this book, like, you know, I started blogging, I want to say back in like 2012, and it was like, I don't know, 30 people reading it. And it was like, that was fine, because I was like, this is a time where I could sort of figure out what my voice is and get really strong as a writer. And so I would encourage people, I know it's hard because, you know, I did this while I had a day job, and not everyone has the energy or the time to do that, but it really helped me to just do some writing on the side, whether it's going to be published or not, just so I could hone my voice and get into the habit of sort of having to routinely write, because writing a book is so demanding and you want to be able to have the endurance to do it.
Okay. Last question, and I'll stop bothering you. You said how much you love to read, which obviously I do too. What are some books that you either read during quarantine, like you mentioned, or you're reading now, or just something that stuck with you?
This is a great question. I keep my book reading list on my phone because I'm a full-on nerd. So during quarantine, I read Little Fires Everywhere, which I was so obsessed with. I was like, oh my God, this book is so good.
So good.
I really loved it. Let's see what else I read. Normal People I read. And like now I'm a major Sally Rooney fan. I'm like so obsessed with it. The Secret Lives of Church Ladies I thought was fantastic. It was really, really good. And then this year, oh, this poetry collection by Jasmine Mann.
Oh, I read that.
Black Girl Call Home.
Yeah, she was on my podcast too. She's awesome. Yeah.
So good. And then I read Casey Wilson's book, The Wreckage of My Presence, which was really funny. She talks, you know, obviously about her career in Hollywood. She talks about her mother passing away and how she's like been dealing with that. And it was really funny and moving and just like, it's one of those where you read it and you're like, oh, I'm just feel like I'm hanging out with a friend. So I really, really enjoyed that book. Last book I'll say, it's so hard to choose the last book. Oh, I really love this book called Quiet by Susan Cain. Have you read it before?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course you have. But you read like everything. It's such a great book. And it really helped me actually with like running my business and sort of just, we're all conditioned that like everyone should just be an extrovert. And then like, you look at your team, you're like, oh, it's great to have a mix of extroverted people, introverted people. And like, that will help make things great. And I realized I'm like an extroverted introvert. And so I was like, oh, sometimes you'd be like, why am I so weird? And it's like, you're not weird. You just being around a lot of people drain you. So you need to go home and like recharge your batteries.
I'm the same personality type. I'm totally happy to be alone forever. I love being out and about, but not for that long. The other day I was like out with my sister-in-law and a bunch of people. And I was like, okay, you know, are we ready to go? And she's like, what happens in that moment? She's like, what? I don't get it. It always happens when you have a switch and you need to leave. And I'm like, I don't know. I just like, that's what I can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, that was very, actually my kid's school made that required reading or something. Like that was,
great.
Yeah, yeah, it was
that's
interesting. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Time to Read Books and for your fantastic collection. Please don't sit on my bed in your outside clothes. So
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.